What's up, everybody, and welcome back to Cindy's Birthday Party, the internet or the podcast that looks at rap music and hip-hop culture from the perspective of some 40-year-old guys who've been there from the beginning, and it is a more of a philosophical and historical perspective. So we're going to get into our actual topic for this week, which is the Mount Rushmore of MCs. So when we say Mount Rushmore, I think we have to first start off and give people an explanation or a definition of what we really mean by that.
Because give me a little history on Mount Rushmore,
Dave. I will do that, Eric. I'm glad that you mentioned that, brother. But because one of the things that I think that people will sometimes kind of get confused, or they may be thinking that this is the same thing as top five dead or alive.
Right.
And people do that all the time.
Right.
But that's not what we're talking
it's
about
too easy,
necessarily.
Man.
That can some of those things may overlap, but it's not the same thing.
Absolutely.
So when we say Mount Rushmore, we're speaking more of influence. So we have to when we say Mount Rushmore of MCs, we have to first look at the actual Mount Rushmore.
Right.
So when Mount Rushmore was commissioned, it was supposed to commemorate the first 130 years of American history. They wanted to take the four most influential presidents in American history, the four that they felt had advanced and preserved the Union the best, right? That's kind of what they said.
At that time.
Right, at that time. That's a key part of it as well. But the four guys who were the most influential, four presidents who were the most influential. So when we talk about the Mount Rushmore of MCs, we're talking about the four most important, most influential rappers. It doesn't necessarily have to be the guy who spit the hottest rhyme or who was your favorite back in the day. Mm-hmm. It could be someone that you don't necessarily personally care for or thought was all that great or whatever, but if their influence is undeniable, then that's what makes them a candidate. So what we're going to do is we're going to discuss a few things with this. We're going to list a group of candidates that we think are worthy of being on Mount Rushmore. We're going to discuss them, their pluses and their minuses, and we're also going to discuss, and then we're going to take that and we're going to narrow it down and we're going to choose four. But we're also going to discuss who qualifies and who doesn't qualify.
Right.
So the qualifications, like we said, they have to be influential, right? They have to have been someone who did something to advance the genre of music, of rap music, or the culture in general.
Can't be in a duo.
Now, thank you, Jose, for bringing that up, because and you and I had discussed this months ago.
Right.
And I had, at that time, on my Mount Rushmore, I had Andre 3000 of Outkast on my Mount Rushmore.
Right.
And you corrected me, and you told me, no, Andre cannot be on the Mount Rushmore, and explain to everyone why you said
because
that.
This Mount Rushmore, just like the actual Mount Rushmore, is based off of the individual achievements of the artists.
That is correct.
And the fact that Andre 3000, unfortunately, because he is one of my all-time favorite artists, he is a part of a group called Outkast, and so therefore Outkast will actually be the group that influenced hip-hop more so than Andre 3000 himself.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, he will forever be tied to Big Boy.
Yes.
No matter what you think of them
Which
separately.
Is, by the way, just a little bit off of talking. So go ahead and put the time on. Look, check this. Did you get that text from David Galloway this morning?
I did, but we'll discuss that on the other show. Zay is also the co-host of another podcast called Live from Zay's House.
Yes.
And the David Galloway post from social media will be a part of that.
Yes.
So that, because we could spend a whole segment on David Galloway.
Was that the 50 greatest MCs?
No. It's something totally different.
I'll step out of that.
Right.
Yes.
I'll step away from that.
But getting back on topic, I think it's very important that you mentioned that Andre 3000 is not. Look, if this was a top five dead or alive, obviously Andre is got to be a part of it,
No question.
But it is not, and we are talking about solo MCs.
Right.
However, Andre's influence is in the group dynamic.
Yes.
But Scarface, for example,
right,
even though he was a part of a group, we all agreed that he is eligible.
Yes.
Because his influence transcended the group.
Right.
Yeah, exactly, because when you think of Ghetto Boys, your mind
plays tricks on you?
Well, it does a lot of times. Your mind sort of goes directly to Scarface.
Right,
I mean, we know Willie D and Bushwick were part of that group, but in your mind, you kind of know the four, the, you know, the at the forefront was Scarface.
Right.
And so that's how you kind of, plus his, I would say his solo career is definitely a little better than, say, yeah, Bushwick's and Willie B.
So, no doubt about it. And, so, and yeah. Scarface's solo career is some of the most memorable rhymes.
Oh, yeah.
In his, especially when you talk about Southern rappers of all time.
Right.
So Scarface is eligible.
Yes.
Whereas an Andre 3000 is not eligible.
Because majority of his career is spent with the group.
Right. Right. The influence is Outkast.
Yes.
It's not necessarily Andre.
Right.
Andre.
Absolutely.
And I had someone point this out to me at one time too. At one point too, is that around the time the AT Aliens came out, when a lot of street dudes felt like Andre was being too weird,
yes.
Right.
It was Big Boy who kept them grounded.
Yes.
Exactly.
So that they could still, so that they could get to
so
a Gemini.
So they could still appeal to
right.
that.
And yes. then, because for me, and Zay, your perspective, I know it's going to be different because you've known those guys literally since infancy.
High school, yeah.
Right. But for me, I always recognized Andre's ability as a rapper, but I didn't really look at him as, oh my God, he's otherworldly until
right.
Aquemini.
Right.
But if Big Boy is not there to kind of anchor and ground that
right.
through that AT Aliens phase,
right.
maybe we don't get to Aquemini
at
the same level to look at it the same.
And I totally agree with that. Well, me personally, like I said, because of the people that I hung out with when I was a kid, I just didn't hang out with the dudes that were straight from ATL. You know, I had friends from Carolina. I had friends from New York. And I actually had friends from even on the west side over in from California.
Mm-hmm.
So I would hang out with all these guys and listen to their versions of hip hop. And so of course, so when I was recording on my VCR all my videos, I didn't just skip anything. I would listen to everything. So
yeah.
like I said,
oh, yeah.
like even when like the symphony came out, I was like, oh man, this is the greatest thing smoking. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Now, you said VCR. I'm a little young. I don't know exactly what that is.
No.
Would you be referring to a video cassette recorder?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I know my memory, I'm so young, my memories don't start until DVDs. Probably Blu-rays, actually.
Don't let that man fool you. That man had a projector in his house at some point. So,
yeah. Right.
So, now, another guy that I would like to mention that I think that is important, and when we're talking about guys who had solo careers
right.
who may or may not be eligible, would be Ice Cube.
Yes.
Who we know started out as a member of a group. Like if we did a Mount Rushmore of groups,
yes.
clearly I think Run DMC
yes.
and NWA we know are
yes.
like automatic qualifiers.
Yeah, automatic, yes.
Right. But Ice Cube, I would argue, is a guy because of his solo career
right.
that is probably eligible.
He has put out enough material on his own to deserve to be
now
on
Eric's over
the
here
list.
Squinting up his eyes. So.
I'm not squinting for the sake of, I agree with that. Like Cube has put up off of America's Most Wanted alone.
Right.
I'll put
classic
him on there.
CD by the
but,
way.
But you know, as he went further, we got what was his other one after that? That
death
was
certificate.
Kill at Will, death certificate.
Man,
yes.
So
Predator.
Death certificate.
As you can tell, folks,
man.
We like that a little bit.
Man.
We like that
so,
one.
So yeah, because with me, it was kind of a. I was glad to see him kind of rebel against, and not that I didn't like NWA. I
right.
love them, and where y'all went with that, I agree. If we had a Mount Rushmore of groups, NWA deserves to be up there
right.
because I
right.
guarantee you. There was not a single cat, East Coast, West Coast, wherever,
nobody
that wasn't
was,
bumping some NWA.
Right.
I mean,
their
you
influence
just were.
Their
right.
right.
And
yeah.
so when Cube kind of broke away from them, when you heard all the kind of drama with Jerry Heller and Eazy-E
mm-hmm.
and that kind of stuff, I was actually happy. And then not only was I happy that he broke away, I was happy that his music was just banging.
Right.
I was
yeah,
like,
was.
Yes. So, yeah, he kind of on his own merit.
Did anybody does anybody notice the difference between NWA and Ice Cube after he left and before he left?
There's a definite
yes.
difference to me.
Yeah.
I felt like NWA with Ice Cube was more organic.
Yes.
And that NWA after Ice Cube felt more like we're trying to – like we shocked you before.
Yeah, but we're trying to be people who –
Right, but
be
now
we're actually
trying to shock
you.
Right,
you.
Exactly.
I agree with that.
And so
right.
it doesn't have that same feel.
Right.
The thing, you know, about Ice Cube, too, is that I felt like if you look at gangster rap in particular, and you take those first two Ice Cube albums specifically, I can always have a hard time saying that word, that is, to me, like the pinnacle of that subgenre.
Right.
Like, lyrically, just everything that Ice Cube was doing. Like, you know, a lot of times cats will put albums out, and it felt like they were just trying to show you how hard they were.
Right.
Right? Like, oh, I'm a thug, I'm a gangster, I'm this, and I'll do this and this. Ice Cube's was, and this is something about Ice-T that I always enjoyed, too, that I don't think he gets enough credit for. It was like he was telling you, he was giving you a first-person account of something that young men were actually going through on the street.
He brought a certain authenticity to it.
Yeah, and it, so it didn't feel like I'm just doing this because I'm trying to be a badass.
Right.
It's like I'm trying to actually show you something.
Right.
Like, this is what they're dealing with. This is what they're going through.
Right.
This is how. This is what their thought process is.
Right, exactly.
Know? Well, today was a good day. Just that, like lays out a whole day's events, and you can actually picture yourself in the car with him or just being next to him. Not even necessarily being visible, but you're there when he's on the basketball court. You're there when he goes to visit such and such girl and
almost
does whatever.
Got a triple double.
Right. He's about the size of his bottle.
How'd he say I had the butt, she had the chronic, the Lakers
beat the Lakers and the Supersonics. Yes. You know, and you
like that was so freaking honest and authentic, right? Like, it was like bruh, like
and you felt yourself being there as you're listening to it.
Yeah,
and like you say, the authentic nature of it, just like, okay, whereas NWA, once, like you say, Cube left, it was like, you know, just because Cube left, that don't mean we ain't still gangsta.
Right, exactly.
And it's like,
and it didn't even have
to
be that
Ren,
way.
Because Ren is a lyrical dude, too.
Right.
But there was something about Ice Cube, the tone of his voice, you know, the way he sounded, his look.
Yeah.
Like, if you were a kid who grew up in South Carolina and you saw Ice Cube for the first time with that Jericho, with that Raiders hat on,
you said,
that dude right there,
not about to mess with
that
dude.
Right,
and you know, and that scowl he always had on his face.
Right,
he was the physical embodiment of what I thought as a kid
was
that a gangbanger on the West Coast would look
exactly.
like.
Because, even though Eazy-E kind of had that same look, I just kind of thought of him as
but
just
he's
like.
5'5".
Right, he's the size of this bottle. So it's like.
And the funny thing about it is Eazy-E was the actual gangbanger. That's the funny thing about it.
Yeah, because Cube went to Arizona State for a year or something like that.
I think
he'd been a college kid. You know,
right.
So it just goes to show you, too, that everything is not as it appears when it comes to rap music.
Right.
So Ice Cube would definitely be eligible.
Yeah.
Now, other guys that we would say, they were in groups, but they were really Chuck D and KRS-One.
Right.
Okay, so Boogie Down Productions and KRS-One, Chuck D and Public Enemy, even though they're in groups, their personalities and they are the primary MC and their personalities are so dominant and dynamic that we pretty much consider them to be solo artists from the beginning, right?
Yeah, it's funny because if you look at Boogie Down Productions and PE for the most part, like I never looked at them as a rap group. I always looked at them like that, like they were a band. You know what I'm saying? Like they were a band, and Chuck D and KRS-One were the front men of this particular band. Now I'm not saying that they played instruments. I think their instrument was
their voice.
The voice and the way they put the music together.
And I'm sorry, Zay, I didn't mean to cut you off with that. But like, even more so with BDP, like actually think back in your mind and remember anybody else rhyming on a BDP song except KRS. Like I don't remember Scott LaRock's lyrics on anything.
But Scott LaRock didn't rap. He was a DJ before he got killed.
Yeah, exactly.
Scott LaRock had them all.
Right.
Yes, he did. Yes, as you remember, the Super Hole.
But the funny thing about it is, and this is what was so cool about it, you knew who these guys were because KRS-One would always mention them.
He always gave them
But
a
you
shout
never
out.
Heard them say nothing.
Nothing. Exactly.
Yes.
And with the PE portion of it, Chuck, is the dominant MC of that.
Right.
And it always seemed like, well, I'll throw some crumbs out here to Flav and let him do what he do. You know, he'll get a little song or whatever, and that's, you know, good enough. But it's Chuck D.
Right.
He's the face of Public Enemy.
Right. And that is true. He is the face. But I want to specifically talk about why these two gentlemen are eligible be on the Mount Rushmore. And I thought about this morning when I got out of the shower. So I thought about.
It was boiling hot. Did you stay there an hour because you like to
watch? Oh, that's funny. Oh, my God, man.
Folks, as you can see, we have mental issues in this studio.
And by the way, that is not the Percocet talking about.
Nah,
that's just him actually being natural.
That's just me.
He didn't have surgery and had to get a prescription. But for our generation, I thought back to the Civil Rights era. And I thought about how John Lewis, Congressman John Lewis now, but John Lewis then was a young dude during the Civil Rights Movement.
Right.
Stokely Carmichael was a young dude. You know, we're talking about college kids in a lot of instances. Mm-hmm. If you look at a lot of the old footage of marches, like the old documentaries on Eyes on the Prize and stuff like that, these are teenagers out here getting dogs and water hoses put on them. The point is... the Civil Rights Movement was really kind of led by young... Jesse Jackson was a very young dude at the time.
Right.
It was led by young people.
Yes.
Teenagers and in their 20s. If you fast forward to our era in the 80s, where, you know, like I said, we're not fighting segregation now, but maybe we're, you know, as black people and as young black people, we're still dealing with a lot of covert racism. But we didn't have a lot of young national leadership.
Right.
Right. But when you look at KRS-One and Chuck D, they almost it's kind of like they became those guys. You know, I tell people all the time, I think in Chuck D's case, Chuck D almost became like the Malcolm X of the hip-hop movement.
Right. I'll agree with that,
Whether he intended to be or not, that is what he became.
Right.
And so I think that, you know, for young black kids who were hip-hop fans who, like I said in the earlier segment, didn't necessarily have that outlet to express themselves, to hear Chuck D be able to express so eloquently what you felt.
Right.
I think that that was really kind of what propelled him. And in their instances, both of them, their music influenced us, not only then, but even influences a lot of us the way we think even now today.
Right.
And I think that's why that they are, they definitely would have to be candidates to be on the Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, because because Chuck D kind of forced you to look beyond the surface.
Yes.
Like, he it was like you would hear what he would say, and you was like, wait a minute, because from what I was taught it was supposed to be like this.
Yes.
You know.
And KRS-One especially.
Absolutely.
When he dropped Why Is That?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was an eye-opener for a lot of young black kids.
Yes.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. But they did. They raised the level of consciousness. And there were other artists in that era, especially, that were more conscious rappers.
Right.
But those two in particular, they stood out to the point that they influenced people beyond.
Right.
And that is, and then of course now, this next guy I was going to mention, and this is, he was not a part of, I guess you could say Eric B. and Rakim were a group. Technically speaking, right?
Technically speaking.
When we were discussing that earlier about groups, you could say Eric B. and Rakim are a group, but of course, hell, for like the longest, I didn't know what Eric B. even sounded like. I didn't know he actually could talk.
Other than, yo, Rakim, what's up?
Right. Exactly.
At the beginning of
That's it. Book. That's yeah. it. So, yeah, yeah. which, yeah, I, that group.
Oh, the
yeah,
part
what
he said, my girl been tripping because we took too long to make this album.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Right. That's really
that was,
the only time we hear Eric's voice.
Yes.
But Rakim, and, you know, and we've discussed this before. If you're going to have a conversation about MCs on whatever level, and you're going to talk about influence especially, if you don't mention Rakim, then you really, you know,
you're not
really
even having
lose
a conversation.
Credibility, right.
Mm-hmm.
For those who don't know, Rakim from Eric B. and Rakim is a guy who is credited with changing the way rappers rap. The sentence structure, the rhyme pattern, the flow, the cadence. Mm. If you listen to rap music before Rakim and you listen to rap music after Rakim, there is a complete difference.
Right.
Now, other guys, you know, KRS-One included, Big Daddy Kane, they get some of that credit too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Rakim is the guy that if you, right now, even if you're a youngster and you start tracing back rappers, if you want to go with a rap genealogy.
Right.
Your favorite rapper's rapper, favorite rapper, and then his favorite rapper and his favorite rapper. Rakim is going to be the base of that tree.
Definitely going to be the base of that tree.
And I think that that's why he's almost, it's almost impossible to leave him off.
Right. I agree with that. It's impossible.
Yeah.
Just to say it in Atlanta style,
yeah.
He literally changed the way people rap. Like, because people were rapping one way. It was like Run DMC. You know, it was loud, and it was over the 808 beat. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Then when Rakim came out, it was like, okay, back to the drawing board.
Yeah, that is so true.
Was blowing everybody's mind with the way he was, you know, rhyming.
Have you ever seen the video where the interview where he's explaining how when they recorded Eric B. as president at Marley Marl's house, Rakim said he's lounging, sitting on the couch.
I saw that interview. Yes.
And Marley Marl is like, yo, man, don't you want to stand up so you can, you know, put a little more energy into
it? He was like, nah.
Like, I'm good.
Yeah.
And he said Marley was kind of upset with him. So, but MC Shan surprisingly came in. And he said Shan kind of was able to figure out, yeah, you know, what he's doing is actually kind of dope. But, you know, he broke the mold from the beginning.
Yep.
He just wanted to do everything in a different style.
And that one was cool even about that interview because Rakim straight said he wanted to sound as natural as possible. He didn't want to try to get too up or too down. He wanted to be who he was at that time. And I think that forever changed hip hop.
Like, no doubt about it. And I think it's also important to note that Rakim really looked at rap music, or looked at rapping from the perspective of a jazz musician. He played saxophone in high school. He was a huge fan of John Coltrane, and he said that he actually tried to rap the way that Coltrane played the sax.
Mm.
And so I guess from that standpoint, we say thank you, John Coltrane.
Right.
For giving us Rakim.
Giving us Rakim.
Rhyming like that.
Yes.
So we sound as if we're putting Rakim as our George Washington on this particular Mount Rushmore.
Well,
it does sound that way, Eric.
It does.
Good point. Now, yeah. But he's a candidate now. Remember,
we're doing candidates. Yeah. So
because,
but he's strong. He's a strong one. Somebody already got the hammer and
chisel. The force is strong.
Exactly. Right.
You know, exactly. They already putting the part in the flat.
Exactly. Yep.
But right. Now, because you mentioned when you said the George Washington, how about this dude as a candidate, Melly Mel?
Definitely. I would say definitely.
Yeah, and see, man, that's a good one.
Because whenever they talk about the early stages of rap music, like 79, 83, it's always Kaz, Melly Mel, and Moby.
Yeah. And see, and that's where I can agree with you with Rakim 100%, but is he early enough? Like, when you think about it, like, okay, George Washington is the supposed father of our country type thing. So he's the first president. Rakim's not really the first MC.
Right.
He's so
revolutionary
and altering with his style.
Right.
You do have to, like, automatically just throw him on there and put him up there. Not necessarily saying he's the George Washington, but it kind of has that feel to
it.
So, you know. But when you say Melly Mel, wow. Yeah, I guess I could call him, in a sense, George Washington, because when you were listening to their old stuff, like The Message and things of that nature, he came across as like that number one guy. I don't remember. I do not recall any other MC other than Melly Mel's voice on damn near everything I listened to.
And even though it was the Furious Five, Melly Mel was so
dominant.
The
front guy.
Exactly.
You know, and the only reason why I would say yes is from a different perspective from you, because, like I said, you was introduced to hip-hop at an earlier time where it had not even gotten that popular.
It wasn't.
By the time it reached the southern region, then Melly Mel, and the reason why I say he was there, because Melly Mel was one of the guys that helped popularize it to bring it to that other level. Like, he was one of the in the South, Melly Mel is looked at as one of the founding fathers,
which clearly
he's not. But
I mean, in terms of, he's not a founding father in that he's not the first guy.
Right.
But if you look at if you want to say, well, guys like Melly Mel and Grandmaster Caz, that's when people looked at rap and said, okay, this isn't just
right.
being silly. These guys are actually, but like, this is an art form.
Right.
Like, well, these guys are really lyrical dudes.
And to just to step in on that, it goes back to what Zay was saying earlier about his pops and parties. Not to say that your pops didn't, maybe he didn't know about Grandmaster Caz, but I doubt, seriously, but that's just it.
Yeah.
If you were anywhere but New York and you did not
right.
know about this particular
that
right.
makes the point. Right.
If you're putting that, you're throwing in the message in
right.
like your mixes with
right.
like, you know, your regular R&B. It's,
right.
it's the message. It's,
right.
It's Rapper's Delight.
Right.
It's, mm-hmm. you know, those two definitely. It's Afrika Bambaataa songs.
Right.
Those
yeah.
are like kind of the three.
Right.
Yeah. We don't know a lot about rap, but. This is a rap song,
right.
and I can, you know, I can put it in with the rest of
like
my stuff.
Like those particular three songs, Planet Rock, Rapper's Delight, and
Message.
Those three songs, those were my true introduction to hip hop.
There you go.
Right.
Yeah.
So
because
whereas,
of all of the other stuff that is considered classic from that period, like you said, Eric, unless you were in New York or unless you were in Somerville and you had a good friend like
Dwayne Perry.
Dwayne Perry. Shout out to our boy Dwayne Perry, who used to have all of the mixtapes from New York and used to, and that was our connection to everything. But to your point, those
right.
three were the main ones.
Those
right.
were the main ones. Like, when I go back as far as history is concerned, like if I was to ask you about Mo D, right, you'd be like, oh my God, he's a legend. I didn't know nothing about Kool Moe Dee until he hadn't gotten older
right.
and was putting out
right.
How You Like Me Now.
There you go.
You
right.
know what I'm
yeah.
saying?
That's
and I'm like,
Treacherous 3 Kool Moe Dee was not known to cats outside of New York.
Correct. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And even though Moe Dee is lyrically one of the tightest cats you'll ever hear
right.
in your life, and always was from the beginning, but he didn't have that. Melly Mel was the, of those three guys that were considered to be great from that first era, he was the only one, I think, that had that national appeal.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah,
so,
that
right.
got away from, yeah, managed to
right.
break out of the Northeast area
right.
and kind
right.
of get spread around.
Because Rapper's Delight was looked at as like as a part of disco, so it's like
exactly.
they didn't really
more
count
disco.
It, they didn't
exactly.
really count it as hip-hop.
Exactly.
And when and people, even fans of rap music, when they heard Melly Mel rap, I think they said, hey, this is art form right here.
Yeah.
Right.
This is actually, this dude has put a lot of thought into this. He is
right.
a poet who just happens to be reciting his poetry over,
right.
over
yes.
music.
Matter of fact, I will go so far as to say Melly Mel was the first rapper that I ever quoted as far as the songs is concerned, are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because you know you hear that song and you learn the words to the song and you start rocking around and you singing the song.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Melly Mel actually was the first guy. Like I said, I didn't realize that that it was hip hop at the time.
Right.
I just loved the song, and I would just walk around quoting the song. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
So we got a few more we want to do. We want to talk about candidates before we end the segment. But so I'm gonna name some names, and you guys can tell me. Oh,
we'll just say what yay or nay.
Yeah. Well, we'll have a little discussion on them. But
okay,
we'll try to.
Gotcha.
Okay, so I think one that is probably a yes is Tupac.
I would say yes.
Eric always sighs, takes a deep breath on that
right.
one.
I'm not a big fan of Tupac. I understand his influence, but
right.
yeah.
And look,
he could be
a
candidate.
I
definitely.
Was not a huge fan of Tupac, but to me, his influence is undeniable.
Absolutely.
From the way that guys, from the vernacular, the things that they said in their rhymes,
right.
To the way they dress, their look, a lot of that was influenced by Tupac. And then his influence went so far around
yes.
the world. And I understand, you know, a lot of times people will say, the detractors always say, well, Tupac, you know, if he hadn't been tragically killed at an early age, his influence may not have been the same. And that may be the same. That may be true. You know, you could maybe say that about Jimi Hendrix or
right.
Jim Morrison or, you know,
yeah.
a number of cats. But it is what it is.
Right. And to me, Tupac brought a certain emotion to the hip-hop scene.
Right.
Like no disrespect to Ice Cube, because Ice Cube, always he was always the most authentic to me.
Mm-hmm.
But for whatever reason, I think I really fell in love with Tupac's music actually after his second album. When he released Me Against the World, my mindset about Tupac changed because of the fact that he brought a certain emotion to the game, and it actually made me, you know, think harder, necessarily more so about life than necessarily about like what's going
on. I think Me Against the World, I think, is kind of his breakout for everybody in the world, actually. Right. Mm-hmm. I think that's when a lot of people kind of, he went from, okay, I kind of like him, to people really started to really love his
like
music.
They really started paying attention to what he was
so
doing.
So you can't mention Tupac without mentioning Biggie. So is Biggie a candidate for Mount Rushmore? I say no.
I would say no myself.
I say no just because he did not have enough content. He doesn't have enough content out
there. Well, me, myself, I think he put out enough content, even though it was a couple albums. But I just think he was more so influenced by Puffy than
I've always felt that he had influence, but I felt like his influence waned because Jay-Z kind of came and took a lot of what would have been Biggie afterwards. I just felt like that may have been, you know, something.
Had he not passed, I probably would be a little more for him being a candidate. But
now, don't get me wrong. Now, I hate the fact that he's not doesn't deserve to be on the list. Because he's one of my favorite artists.
Right.
You know,
it's not anything to do with him lyrically or anything like that, style-wise or anything. And quite honestly, he's very influential at that particular period. When he dropped that first album, when he dropped Ready to Die, it's
But does the influence go beyond just
that's
that
the
period?
Issue. That is, and that
right,
is
right.
The
it
issue.
Doesn't, right, because it's not enough content. Right. It kind of just fades off, and we're still left with playing, you know, Juicy the beat for Juicy and just remembering him more than just going forward with him. So yeah, I can kind of.
Now this is someone that we had discussed before, and this is another one of those split ones, also on the West Coast. Too Short.
That's a good question. Me, I don't think any answer would be wrong, to be honest with you. If you think he deserves to be on the list, I don't think there's a wrong answer about that. If you think he does not, I don't think there's a wrong answer about that.
I don't know if there are, based on his body of work or his music, that he's on the list, but I think that what Too Short did from an entrepreneurial standpoint, selling 250,000 units out of the trunk of his car.
And that was going to be my next statement, that you could say from a business standpoint,
But that doesn't qualify him as an MC.
But it doesn't necessarily qualify him as an MC.
And if we were just doing his influence on the West Coast or something like that, I think I hate to make it sound like I'm selling him short, but I just don't know.
Selling him short.
No pun intended.
No pun intended. Right.
Yeah, me with him, I kind of look at him as sort of a niche rapper that you like his stuff, and more people like it more than others. I admire the whole selling music out of his car. I admire his, you know, go get it attitude. But you know, his songs are, and this is just me. It just, you know, I can take it or leave.
Right. I mean, let's say as a rapper, you know, I would love to have Too Short on one of my songs if that's the case.
Oh,
so,
no doubt about it.
So it's not like I'm not saying that Too Short is a bad rapper or
anything. No, not at all.
Like that.
And remember, even if he was a bad rapper, it doesn't matter for the purposes of this list, because we're talking about what is his influence
on
the
culture itself. Yeah.
So, Nas. And I'm gonna kind of split these two, but this is Nas and Jay-Z.
Oh, okay. With Nas, I'm gonna say no.
Okay.
But I'm coming to you from a Southern perspective. Now, lyrically, no doubt about it, Nas is one of the best ever. He deserves to be on whatever top 10 list that you put out.
Does he deserve to be on a Mount Rushmore though?
I would say no, because to me, I don't think that he has done enough to influence the genre versus as far as changing. Like Nas, he was great, but a lot of MCs that were coming out when he came out were great MCs, right? So what did he do to actually change the game?
Well, I don't know if he – that may be fair that he's not. I think that Nas is a product of from a timing standpoint – that the atmosphere in rap music and hip-hop culture was so toxic
for dudes coming out
of New York at that time, that a lot of people in the Midwest and the South on the West Coast didn't want to hear you if you were a New York rapper, regardless. And it's unfortunate because Illmatic is one of the greatest rap albums ever.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
But a lot of people didn't get to witness that and didn't get to experience that at the time that it came out. I'll make another jazz comparison. Jazz cats always talking about John Coltrane and The Love Supreme. Mm-hmm. And how, you know, it was just this and that. And I think Ninth Wonder made this comparison once, and that's why I mentioned it. So shout out to Ninth Wonder. But it was one of those things where it really kind of, it was so great, it just foundationally may have changed a lot of things. But I do agree that I don't think he had the opportunity to have the level of influence he should have.
Right.
Because people were just against New York rappers.
At that time when he came out, people were kind of trying to wane themselves from the New York style.
You know, and a lot of guys, because I can remember being in the military at the time, and being around guys from all over the country.
Right.
A lot of dudes, man, they didn't want to hear a New York rap.
Right.
A lot of cats would rather listen to a Spice One. No disrespect to Spice One.
Right.
They'd rather listen to Spice One at that time or MC8, another one of my favorites, as opposed to a Nas joint.
Underrated rapper, by the way, MC8.
Even though Nas's lyrical content and the production on that album, too, was unmatched.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And then the other one I mentioned, Jay-Z. Now, I kind of feel the other way about Jay-Z. Like, I'm not a huge Jay-Z fan.
Right.
But he's another one I feel like his influence is undeniable because he had such a long run of being the guy.
Right.
That his influence was just, it leaked into everywhere. If you listen to Jay-Z's flow, and which is really the thing that I kind of don't like about
him.
But his flow, so many guys copied that.
Right.
Tried to rhyme like Jay-Z.
Right.
His lyrical content, rapping about the crystal and this and that. So many dudes were biting off of that and just using that. I just think that, you know, his influence as a rapper was too great, regardless of how you feel about him personally. It just feels like it was too great.
Yeah, during his great run, I guess, him putting out all of the material he's put out, his influence on just listeners in general. Mm-hmm. You had to run out and get Jay-Z's latest, Reasonable Doubt, Black Album, whatever the case may be. Whether or not it was good or not, you know.
The Blueprint.
You know what? I love Blueprint. Mm-hmm. I love the Blueprint. And that was like one that everybody had to go out and run and get. So I can kind of, I'm kind of with you, Danny. I'm not a huge, huge fan of Jay-Z. I like Jay-Z. Don't get me wrong. But he's one of those I can take it or leave it type MCs, especially now.
And a lot of guys that are guys like us that like a certain type of rappers, you know, that can consider ourselves to be purists or whatever, but a lot of purists also will swear by Jay-Z's music.
Yes.
And they love Jay-Z as an MC.
It pains me to say that Jay-Z deserves to be on this list. But he actually do, and this is the main reason why. Like after Tupac and Biggie died, there was a void in hip hop from a lyrical standpoint, right? Now me myself, I always thought that I didn't understand what people were listening to when they would tell me Jay-Z is one of the best lyrical artists out there, and I'm like, give me one verse, just quote me one verse from Jay-Z that would make him one of the greatest ever. I never understood that.
I think that the cats that were still in the streets, that were really involved with the dope game, they'd probably come back with a lot of verses for you. But I feel you on that.
But as much as it pains me to say this, he was the face of hip hop for at least a good 10 years.
He was,
and everybody looked to him to see what it was that they were going to be doing at the time. When Puffy put out artists, he put artists out so they could talk about the same things that Jay-Z was talking about.
Yeah,
well, and I'll even go a little further with Jay-Z to give him a little bit more respect. Remember that time he said he was quote-unquote retiring from the game?
Right.
And a lot of hip-hop artists, I remember Joell Ortiz on a freestyle of his.
A true rhyme spitter.
Yes, definitely. Spit a line, something to the effects of, now that Jay is retired, I'm here to step up and take the mantle of being the great, you know, MC.
Right.
So that right there kind of says, you know, how
much
big
Jay-Z
an influence Jay-Z had,
right,
even
right.
when he did that fake, I'm retiring from hip-hop.
And to be honest with you, just for the even just to go beyond hip hop, the things that he does in the community, I commend him for it. It's to me, Jay-Z reminds me of LeBron James from a sports standpoint. Where
I would have agreed with you up until this past weekend.
Well, yeah, I was just about to get into that.
But that's another chapter in another book.
Right,
right. But and we can actually have a discussion about that at some other point. But he's done so much for the African American community, and he's done so much to show people as far as how far entrepreneurship can go.
But again, we're getting into the
business path.
Right. Same thing we held against Tupac.
I was never crazy about the man's music, but I just thought he was just an overall cool person. You know what I'm saying? Right. Just from the
he has a level of importance where you can sit down and talk about breaking out the hammer and the chisel to put him on the mountain. Right. I will agree with that.
I just felt like he, even though he wasn't my cup of tea personally, I think that for many other rappers, he was. You mentioned Joel Ortiz.
Yeah.
And something as competitive and as abrasive often as rap music is, he still felt that he had to put out a respectful way to say that I'm the best.
Right.
Because Jay-Z doesn't like this.
Right.
He decides he wants to come at me.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Like, I think I remember Lil Wayne saying the best rapper alive since the best rapper retired.
Right.
Yeah.
Things of that nature.
I'm the best alive. Oh, but only because he's gone.
Only because he's not here.
That's
right.
A level of importance and influence that,
and that's,
you know.
Yeah, and right. That's exactly
dudes
what
dudes are like,
right.
Yeah, I'm bad because, you know, this is what we do in rap, man. We say how good we are, but I ain't saying I'm good as you, Jay.
Right.
Right.
So I think we can honestly say with this.
Don't
it's gonna hurt.
Jay.
We know you.
This gonna hurt.
So take another Percocet.
Right. I think. Right. Matter of fact, I think I got him in the car. So
okay,
when I leave, I'm gonna take
another one of that. That'll alleviate
exactly.
That particular pain.
Right.
The pain. Once again, folks.
I think
from
we can
surgery.
All be clear that we can bang the gavel on him being on the list. Right.
We'll put him
on
the list.
He's on the list. Yeah.
We'll put him on the list. Definitely.
Okay. So. Now what I'm going to do is I want everybody to give a wild card.
this is going to be fun.
I know
exactly what
Ladies
I'm going to say.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you hear some furniture moving in the background, you guys have jumped up and jumped on Zay
y'all
for
might
his
hear
wild
some,
card.
Well, hopefully they won't throw me through the window because the blinds are down. So, bruh, I'm finna keep it 100, bruh. Soulja Boy deserves to be on the list.
You know, it'll be so great.
Look,
when we go.
Eric
have
over
a
there,
video.
He over there shaking his glasses over there because he know he's ready to argue
it'll,
with
him. It'll be so great when we go to having video on this podcast because you'll be able to see the look of utter disgust that
yes.
is on my face right now. But
matter of fact, I mean.
That thumping noise you heard was actually my head hitting the table when Zay mentioned Soulja Boy. That
but
was.
I'm just going to keep it real.
Go for it. Go
I'm
for
just going to
yeah,
keep it real. It. I look. You talking about, we sat here and just spoke about Jay-Z. Mm-hmm. It pains me even more, so I really do need that Percocet. I'm going to call my wife in a minute and have him bring some in. So me saying this, I'm just being totally 100
go ahead,
because.
I was going to say, you notice he can't get to the point.
I can't
he
even
can't
get
even,
to it.
He can't even convince
Look, man,
himself on this.
This
but go
man
ahead.
Has revolutionized the way we all listen to hip-hop today. Because of the fact that he was able to release his own music, not through any middleman. He wasn't signed to anybody. He actually went to the internet. And, you know, we all hear about Spotify and all this stuff. He was the first artist to do it. And now all the artists are going through SoundCloud. Everybody's
That's
going
true.
Through the
There's
same program that he used.
Literally tens of thousands of guys on SoundCloud,
yes.
SoundCloud now. And
Soulja Boy is the actual reason why they're doing it. He did it himself, and I
that's pretty
I commend him for it, and it's pretty doggone. That, yeah, I mean, you yeah. can't say that's not influential.
Well, my wild card would probably be Lil Wayne, because I think that Lil Wayne around 2005 or so
right.
hit a point where he had actually gotten really good.
Yes.
Like, he wasn't just a little kid anymore rapping.
He was putting out a lot of underground
and
stuff.
Every time I look at a rapper now with tattoos on his face and multicolored
yep.
hair who's
yep.
high on Xanax,
yes.
I think of Lil Wayne. So thank you, Lil Wayne, for giving us all of these Zanny Pacquiao-looking
yep.
dudes out here.
And he actually got
drugs.
The skateboards and scooters back popular.
He
because
did,
he
and
he had
a tremendous influence on a lot of the young rappers that have come after him. I don't know. My problem is that sometimes the influence wasn't so much on the way that they rap. It's just on their lyrical content. It seemed like every other thing about Lil Wayne that was off or weird.
I mean,
or whatever.
He influenced the culture. I mean,
he did. He
like dudes
did.
Is around here walking around with holy skinny jeans. You know what I'm
yes.
saying? Like
skinny jeans
yes.
and multicolored hair and
yes.
tattoos on their face.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's all
he's
Lil
my
Wayne.
Wild card that I would have that was.
I can't argue Canada. Against that, bro.
Eric, who you got, man?
I don't particularly have a wild card per se. I wanted to go back and touch on one we kind of left off, which was LL Cool J. And
oh,
the
God,
reason
yes.
the reason I say this is because this dude, from the time I was coming up
yep.
when hip hop after Run DMC, when you got your sucker MCs and
right,
all that stuff,
right.
there was LL with Rock the Bells.
Yep.
There was LL with, you know, My Radio and that yep. kind of stuff. And from that time, this was what I call yelling LL.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A lot of hollering and yelling on the mic.
Oh.
And yeah, and a lot of braggadocio and right. just this walking around
six
and
G's
bucking.
20
and
minutes
yeah.
is the pay I earn.
And there you go. And
yeah.
I say this because he has managed to. Now, of course, we think of him now as just a guy on NCIS running
right.
around,
mm-hmm.
you know, looking big and doing
right.
all this stuff. But he's been around a long time. And
forever.
The dude has managed to change his style up to manage to stay relevant in hip-hop. When he was doing all the yelling and hollering, Marley Marl told him, like, hey, bro, you're going to have to calm this down a little bit
yeah.
and settle it down. So that's when Jingling Baby popped off and some of those
yep.
other ones. Then he went into another totally different mode, which I thought was kind of odd, almost, you know.
He has reinvented himself a few times.
Right.
A few times. He went with the Boys to Men and all this, hey, love, and that kind of
but the
stuff.
Funny thing about it is, and that goes to your point too, Eric, is to be honest, I think LL truly influenced hip-hop because he was the first actual sex symbol.
That's a good
in
point.
In hip hop.
And
good
I need love.
The
I,
ladies
I don't care.
Love
your
Cool
girl,
J.
Your girl didn't have to be, she didn't have to be a rap fan, but guarantee she like I Need Love.
Yeah,
yes.
Because you, yeah, it, as corny as it was, it literally was the first rap romance song. And you
right.
couldn't deny that it, you know, even a woman could sit there and listen to it and like, oh, okay, he's actually got a little bit of sincerity
when
behind
you listen to
him.
I Need Love, you listen to Round the Way Girl.
Yep.
Yeah.
Listen to Hey Love. Like, LL has some songs. The thing about LL that I think is unique, too, is that he could appeal to more than one
right.
lane.
Right.
You know, so if it's the hard cats on the street corner, you know, standing in the B-boy stance, LL
he
had
did
radio.
He can help.
Yeah,
and
he did
do it.
He had I'm Bad. He had, you know, if you want to battle him, he's got Jack the Ripper.
Right,
right.
He's got, you know, he's got all of these songs. But then at the same time, hey, I can make doing it and doing it and doing it well.
There you
they can play that in the clubs and the
Amen.
Ladies can dance to that and everything. And it's like LL had something for everybody.
For everybody.
Hey,
Amen.
LL was the first artist that made me try to impress a girl when I learned how to play doggone I Need Love on the piano.
On a piano.
No,
why do I see Zay like on the piano
oh, yeah.
playing this riff and like looking over his shoulder at
yeah,
the girl?
Yeah, exactly. See, check
yeah,
this out. See,
check
I,
this
I
out,
know
girl.
This song
and
too.
She was thoroughly unimpressed.
Of
by
course,
it.
She was. I had to show her some drawings and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Then I was able to get in.
But
yeah. I think LL showed guys that you didn't have to be one way.
Right. Exactly.
And that's the thing.
And
I could respect hard LL.
Right.
I could respect. Romantic, I Need Love LL,
well,
and then
I
can respect, you know, him on the kind of smooth tip LL. He had
it's funny
for
because mm-hmm. cause I'm gonna tell you what you ain't gonna do. You ain't gonna try LL.
No,
on
sir.
Lyrics
cannabis.
He was gonna destroy you.
And that's another thing that if guys ever got cannabis. It in their minds that LL was soft
yes.
or that he was weak,
he would destroy
he was,
you.
You know, he would come at you.
And
yes.
you know what? And he kind of literally you saying that, Danny. There were. Periods where people did kind of think like LL's falling off.
Yeah.
And then, like you say,
so that Walking with a Panther album, he
yes.
was falling off.
Right. And,
right.
and then he'd throw, like, even just in general, like you say, he'd be on the smooth tip and then people would think, oh, LL going soft. And then he'd just throw out this hard ass
yes.
something,
yes.
anything to
yes.
like, his verse on 4-3-2-1.
Oh, yeah. That verse is just murderous.
You know, he comes out.
That was a murderous voice.
Remember EPMD song Rampage?
Yes.
The Ripper, the Master, yeah. The Overlordian.
Playing MCs like an old accordion. Yes.
Right. So he still managed to let people know, hey, you can think I'm soft all you want, but if you want, like Zay was saying, if you want to go at it,
let me
put these real lyrics down. I'm not on the smooth tip right now, the smooth tip-ish right now. Hey, let's get down with it.
I think he gave the blueprint, because at one time it was like, okay, if you started out as this type of rapper and then you went quote-unquote commercial and you got on the pop charts, that at that point the streets were done with you.
Right.
You know, with the Fat Boys doing Wipeout or Run DMC with Walk This Way.
Right.
Like after that, the streets don't really want you anymore. But LL showed guys how they could transition from one to the other. Hey, you can get a song that'll be on top 40 radio or whatever, but you can also have these joints that the dudes in the streets are going to be listening to.
And it's going
to
be like, bruh, and it's going to make the dude from the streets respect you.
And you can do it for 20 years. Yes. That's the thing, too.
Exactly.
Yes. And it's just not just a testament to his greatness, but just the fact that he gave so many other guys who came after him a way to actually approach this thing.
Not
necessarily LL a wild list. Card, but I wanted to just push him and add him on there. And one other quick thing we did not get to, and I know for our female listeners out there, we did not touch on any female rappers.
I'm so glad you mentioned that.
We
got to
go back and touch on a few female rappers. Of course, all of you would agree, I would say MC Lyte deserves to be the kind of queen of that, the top, top of that list. Because there was Paper Thin came out, I was like,
there were female rappers before her, but there were not any who had that type of a lasting impact.
Right.
I was kind of put Queen Latifah with that too, because she came out at the same time. But Lyte definitely, and we've discussed this before, it's more of an indictment on our culture that we love so much, that it's been around for 40 years and we don't have 12, 15 women that we can discuss.
That we can discuss. Because
I think it definitely should be more. Right.
I guess you could make an argument for someone like Lil' Kim when you look at Nicki Minaj or you look at Cardi B that's out now. But for those of us who are purists, MC Lyte would be the one that
I could put with the guys. And
I would not disagree with Lil' Kim being on that list in a sense that she did influence.
She influenced
artists that that are currently out today.
Right, and that's what I'm saying.
I wasn't the biggest fan of Lil' Kim because to me she didn't write her own material.
Right.
But from an influential standpoint, I would say yes.
Well, yeah, from a performing standpoint, you could sit there and you could say like
it's more image based.
Exactly. Yeah, a lot of definitely more image based.
But ain't nobody finna sit here and tell me that they didn't like that Lil' Kim album when it came out.
Oh, I bought it.
The first one, yeah.
Oh, you bought it.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, right. No. Y'all misinterpreting what I'm saying.
Oh,
I'm not
talking about the album. You talking about the album cover?
You talking about the cover? Oh yeah, that's different.
Yeah.
That brings back fond memories. I had a discussion about that with a partner of mine at work about that same, like, of course, what happened to her. She was fine like this.
Yeah.
Now she's gone to this.
Yes.
And actually, there's a picture that has been out of her here lately. I guess she's trying to put.
I didn't recognize her. I know.
Did you see the one with all the jewelry and stuff? And I'm like, who is that? And they said it was her. And I'm like, what?
Looked like Madam Flowers.
What it kind of bothered me about it is you've done all this stuff to yourself and now you're trying to kind of hide it with she had the long hair.
Right.
She's got all these Chanel symbols on, all this jewelry and everything to catch your eye off of
who she actually is
behind all of that and what she's done to herself.
Right.
So yeah.
But, her influence on as a rapper on people like Nicki Minaj. Actually, they were even beefing over that at one point.
Yeah.
Right.
So we know that there's a definite influence if it gets to that point.
Yeah.
Now you look at, Cardi B. What's the other girl, the Stallion?
I know you.
Meg Thee Stallion.
Yeah.
Thank you, Corbin. That's why we have the young guy Corbin in our studio.
Some of these young names I'm never going to remember or know.
In a little bit, I'm about to be like my dad, just messing up rapper names. But I think that Lil' Kim, the bigger picture on female rappers, like we've talked about before, is there is a heavy, a deep level of misogyny that exists in rap music. and that women don't often get to. If you're going to be a female rapper, sometimes you got to only be a sex symbol. If right. you're going to, for people, to, for you to get really pushed and promoted like the guys do, you know, you can be Biggie and, you know, and we're going to judge you on your lyrical content.
Right.
But if you're going to be Lil' Kim, you got to be sexy.
Right.
You know, so when we look at other female rappers who have been out there, like if you look at, like, currently, like a lady like Rhapsody, who's a beast on a microphone, mm-hmm. you know, or if you look at someone a little older like Jean Grey, or if we go back to the 90s, you look at like Rod Digger, like these women get down on the mic.
Right.
As good as or better than any man.
Right.
But they've never received that kind of push because right. the women have never, women have been, I guess, objectified so much in rap music that mm-hmm. the only time we want to hear from them is if they talk about.
If they're looking good.
Yeah, you yeah. know.
And well, they, that's the thing too, like Zay just said, Kim had to come with not only the sex appeal. I'll give her credit on this, where, like you said, with male rap, it's a lot of misogynistic lyrics.
Yes.
She actually kind of flipped it.
And yeah, she
talked a lot of trash. Like, yes, you would expect a dude yes. to be talking yeah, about right. a woman. She's saying all this stuff about
lyrically.
Dudes,
lyrically,
you know.
Lil' Kim would come with it. Like, she had great delivery.
But how yes. much of that was Biggie's?
Right. That's what I'm saying. How yeah. much of it was Biggie's
right.
writing?
Right. You know? It was a lot of it was Biggie's writing, yeah. but she had to deliver the message itself.
Right. Yeah.
You know what you I'm know? Saying? So,
and like to Danny's point, you had rappers like Rod Digga, you know, Bahamadia, and yeah, others like that.
They could do it themselves.
They're not sexually. Let me not say that they're not beautiful women. It's just that they're not put out there as
right.
sex symbols. You're right. not out there with bikini tops on
right.
and
mm-hmm.
fur coats and all that
squatting.
Stuff. Right, squatting, doing that kind of stuff. They're just out here spitting lyrics.
Exactly.
And if you're a quote unquote a purist about hip hop, you hear them rap and it's like, okay, damn, they get down. I'm going to get their albums,
right.
which I bought
mm-hmm.
their albums
right.
when they came out. It wasn't about their sex appeal. It wasn't like,
right.
you know, Bahamadia ain't nothing really particularly to look at, but she
right.
could flow.
Right.
She could get down, and it's like, okay, I'm going to buy her stuff. Whereas I think a lot of Kim's sales were the fact that
I heard dudes say it all the time, dog, she freaky. You
know, yeah.
Right. You know, that's
yeah.
what guys would say.
Right.
Know?
How do you guys feel about Roxanne Shanté?
One
See,
of the originators.
Yeah, yeah, she's a pioneer, and she's got a certain level of influence, too.
Right.
I don't know if I put her on, because
Shantae's
influence maybe doesn't go past a certain point.
Right, right.
And so maybe that's why I wouldn't say she's amongst the most influential.
Right, right.
But you cannot deny the fact that she had influences, that she was 14 when she did
right.
yes. 14, Revenge.
Yeah. Something like that, yeah.
And that she did something, she was a part of something that spread like a virus that
yes.
went viral
yes.
before there was any internet.
Yes.
And you can and you can say, look, UTFO had a big hit with Roxanne, but it's Shanté that turned the whole Roxanne
yes.
thing into
exactly.
Now I would even go so far to say better. That she was pretty talented herself. I mean, even though that particular song,
she said she freestyled everything.
Yes, like that she could actually rap. Like I actually have a song of hers and I'm like, she actually got down on that song.
Yeah.
And it wasn't necessarily Roxanne Shanté or Roxanne's Revenge or anything like that. It was just her just getting on the mic and
well,
going
there's
at
a,
it.
There's a video of her. One of her first, like Danny was saying, when she was young, it's probably on YouTube somewhere. It's her in like a living room.
In
Marley's living room.
Yeah.
Rhyming, and they just going over this beat that he has, and she's in there just getting down right.
Yeah. And if you've seen the movie Roxanne on Netflix, so basically she's taking her laundry.
Yes.
She's about to go do laundry. She puts the clothes in the laundry, and Marley says, come up here and record the song.
Yep.
And she goes up there and does it in one take.
Right.
Which is absolute genius if that is
how it went
if
down.
If you
want to
look
you know,
at it from
yeah.
that standpoint, yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. yeah.
You know, and the whole, the Roxanne Wars, which is such a big part, 1984, 85 is defined
yep.
almost
yep.
by that. You know, that and, what, Run DMC's second album, those
yep.
are probably the two biggest things from that era.
Yeah.
And Roxanne Shanté is almost, I think she's more responsible for the phenomenon of the Roxanne thing than UTFO themselves.
Oh, definitely,
right.
yeah, because I think. Because
how dare you come out and come back
right.
at us and
well, yeah, we didn't know, we did not know who Roxanne was when UTFO made the song.
Right.
And whether or not they capitalized, Marley and her capitalized on that, hey, your name is Roxanne, why don't
right.
we jump in on this
right.
and you
right.
make a respond record to
right.
that. that is more her influence in my book is like, right. Okay, now I there's a face to the
right.
name.
Right.
And I think she took that and ran with it. Right. And it was smart, actually. You know,
yeah,
it's
funny. I think that was smart.
We've actually spent so much time talking about Roxanne Shanté, and we said Light was a candidate, and we didn't spend as much time talking about Light. So
let's do
that really quick before we wrap this up. So MC Light, tremendous lyricist, came up in the music business. Actually, I think her father or somebody was a record exec, because you know the Audio 2, Milk and Gizmo,
yeah,
her
right.
brothers,
Warren,
and then
yeah.
I think their father was somebody at the record label, and that's kind of how she got on. But Light was the type, she established herself that, hey, you don't want to mess with her.
Right.
She's 5 foot nothing and she's 100 pounds.
Yeah.
But you don't want to mess with her, Antoinette. You don't do that to yourself.
Antoinette.
What a name. And it was the amazing thing about it to me is that Light got in Antoinette so deep. And so remember she said, do not say bleep till you write your own rhymes.
Right.
Like that was a big thing back then.
Of course.
Had to write
yeah. Right.
But also the fact that she got in Antoinette so deep that not even dudes wanted to challenge Light.
Right.
Yeah, Light.
It was like, Light is hard, bro. Leave
Light
her
was
alone.
One of the first female MCs that me personally looked at from a lyrical standpoint was like, bro, like she coming with
right.
it. Like she can actually hang with the big boys. You know what I'm
and
saying?
And then when you look at the women who came after her.
Right.
They were, like if you look at like Lynn Q, who was Isis and X-Clan.
Yeah.
You know, of course, Queen Latifah.
They were all influenced by
they
her.
Were there were lyrical women who came yes. out that were, you know, until we get to the point where we get to Lil' Kim, these women like, okay, if you're going to be a woman in this business, Light is the stand. MC
right.
Light is the
stand. I agree with that right. cuz before Light or even around the time of Light is Salt and Pepper's time.
Right.
Yes.
And so Salt and Pepper I'll sit here and I'll admit I loved Salt and Pepper. You know, everybody played them.
Yeah.
Right. Barry Mutry played damn Love Bandit on a bus on a bus trip to on a basketball game for like the whole damn ride on the bus.
We listened to Barry Mutry.
Shout out to Barry Mutry. But their style of rapping was more
party
style
yeah.
rapping. Exactly.
Right.
It was more get you feeling good.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it
but
wasn't.
I wouldn't qualify them anyway just because of the fact that they.
The group
well, no,
dynamic.
Taking them out of.
Right.
Yeah, taking
them
off.
Them
the, yeah, as an example,
right.
where I was getting to Danny's point where Light was a lyricist.
Yes.
You had to, like, come with your
yes.
game.
Yes.
Where Salt and Pepper, it's like, okay, yeah, they rhyming and it's over good beats and it's good feel good music.
Right.
But when Light, when she came out with her stuff,
yeah.
then the female rappers after her had
yes.
to, like, be almost in that mode. It
yes.
wasn't like you couldn't go back to Salt and Pepper
right.
party type
right.
music.
Right.
You had
to
show that you're a lyricist.
Yeah.
You had to show that you're a rapper because
yes.
you got to be able to step up and keep up with the men
yes.
in this game.
Right.
Yes.
So that's where, yeah, that's
and,
where
and
I bring
I,
them
I've
in.
Always thought that that was her, the influence with her, and that Light had a substantial career and that she showed, look, you don't have to be one of these dudes. Not only, men are not the only ones who can rap. You
right.
know? Women can rap, and it stood out because nobody was ever going around saying, well, you know, so-and-so is writing MC Light lyrics. Because, first
True.
Of all, anybody who heard her brother's audio, too, you know that Light is a much better rapper.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
Absolutely. Right. It wasn't her family.
I wasn't
right.
a big
right.
Audio 2 fan, to be
right.
honest.
Yeah, Milk is no yeah, Milk is no great
right.
Milk
rhymer.
Is chilling, you know.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's it.
Hey, what more can I say?
Top
Bill.
Bill.
So, yeah. anyway, folks, we're going to wrap this segment up. It has gone much longer than it should have. Our engineer, Daniel, has shown me the clock on numerous occasions, and
yeah.
I have pretty much ignored
he
it.
He about to lose it over
right.
there.
So in our next segment, in our final segment, we are going to, give me a drum roll, we're going to narrow down our contestants.
Wait. Y'all, don't you have a drum roll on that expensive computer
yes, but
you got over there?
We'll get to that. You messing up my segment right now. Listen to me closely. I'm giving you this drum roll for
See,
a reason.
That ain't.
Because we're going to narrow it down to our final four contestants, ladies
oh,
and gentlemen.
Oh, Lord.
Who will be the faces of Mount Rushmore after this?
I'm gonna need y'all to pray for us.